You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, March 29th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by Matt Modica, Fantasy Executive, Corey Bartz. We go 2 hours for you. The OGs of fantasy, old school fantasy, comes your way next. Gentlemen, what's going on? What's up, Matt?
36 hours till Vegas, baby.
36 hours in Vegas. The countdown is on. I'm telling Corey, on tomorrow's show, your final show in New York before Vegas, we're going to do all our over-unders, our MVPs, our Cy Youngs. We're going to do all that, and we're going to figure out where we should put the money down. That's going to be tomorrow's show, so get ready for it.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, this is pretty planned. This is what good producers do, right, Corey?
Yeah, you're doing an excellent job.
Appreciate that. Yeah, so is Mike Florio.
who's
leaving us, by the way? Do you know that?
Wait, hold on. Leaving us for what?
He's leaving us for other shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Well, you could ask him. Mike Florio, hey, good
Mike
morning.
Mike Florio, what the hell is... I'm just getting used to... I feel like I hardly ever knew you.
What does that mean? We talk... I'm with you all day in the production room.
Where you going, son?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just... I'm going to be... Instead of coming in for the morning shows, I'm going to be coming in for old school fantasy. So I'll still be with you.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. As long as you're doing what you want to do, I'm fine with that. I can't wait till After Park starts.
Yeah, you put those on Old School Fantasy, right?
I wrote about Sankata and Angle.
Oh, Sankata and Angle in the morning? I wasn't sure.
And Old School Fantasy, yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, definitely look for that. I know Scotty looking forward to going to the Met games next week, Wednesday, Friday. He was saying just before the show started. So At the Park, hopefully we'll get going and rolling next week. And you can get even more in-depth stuff from At the Park inside the Roto Expert Exclusive Edge package, which is not just a draft package. It is a season-long guide to help you, including articles from Michael Florio, Frank Stanfill, Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, and many, many more. Look at it. It's the Roto Expert's Exclusive Edge package. It's available right now to help you draft this week into the weekend, and of course your season long guide. It's only $29.95, free radio when you check out. You get $5 off. It's like $20 for a 6 months worth of articles and opinions and help, and then you get automatic help from the king. And you want that, Corey?
Yeah, no doubt about that. That is the premium product that'll get you through the 2017 baseball season. You can finish up in the winner's circle.
Absolutely. You want to make sure you finish up in the winner's circle. Gentlemen, Shall we begin? Because on the show today, it's going to be a fun show. Matt Modica will debut in the 9 o'clock hour inside the Weakest Link today.
Oh, he gets his Weakest Link shot.
Matt Modica will try to step up and not be eliminated and be the strongest link today.
I'm defending is Mike Florio alive?
Yeah, different game.
I won't be able to defend that, actually.
It's a different game. So don't worry about that.
I can dominate once again.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Anyway, so that's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour. To begin, I want to talk a little baseball here. I wanted to start with pick a player today, because we kind of dove into the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday, and today I want to dive in a little bit to the St. Louis Cardinals, because I think there's a lot here, and I think we start with the pitching staff, because there's a lot of question marks from the top all the way through the bottom. So let's start at the top with the guy that's been at the top for a very, very long time. In St. Louis, and of course that's Adam Wainwright. He has been, I don't know if lightning rod is the right term, but he has been a very interesting test case throughout the spring. Like, we've heard people like Derek, right, that love Adam Wainwright, all in on Adam Wainwright, getting him everywhere. We hear people like Tony Zincata that want nothing to do with him, and there's more people, in all honesty, Matt and Corey, more people in Tony's camp, I would say, than Derek's camp at this point with Adam Wainwright. You've seen the control not be great. You've seen the velocity be down. And he's just had a brutal spring. I believe the ERA finished around 7. It's been a very, very up and down spring for Adam Wainwright. Now, when the clock turns midnight here on Sunday, he's not going to be starting. It's going to be Carlos Martinez starting opening day for them. But he'll start, I assume, on Tuesday. So the question is for you, gentlemen. Will Adam Wainwright be in your fantasy rotation?
He was somebody I was not averse to getting. I do not own, I don't think I own any shares of Wainwright. I think he's going to pitch better than what we saw in the spring. I think he was working on the changeup. I think the key to his game is going to be the curveball. If the curveball, he can get back to past performance, that would really be a boost to his game. But I wouldn't write Wainwright off just yet.
Corey?
I can't have a pitcher on my fantasy rotation that's throwing underhand. Well, at least the results is that of a pitcher throwing underhand. I'm sorry. I'm kind of off with Adam Wainwright. Listen, if he does it, you know what I mean? I would be shocked. You know what I'm saying? Now, Matt is much more, you know, has much more knowledge in this situation, you know, covering pitchers the way he does. But just, you know, me from, you know, the layman's point of view, I think the guy's washed up.
So I look at Adam Wainwright, I think you see the name, and you kind of hope or maybe think that, like, all right, I can grab this guy in the middle rounds and maybe get an ace. I don't think we're there anymore with Adam Wainwright. I think it's over. I think that dream is over. I think that Adam Wainwright, I'm not saying he's tossing underhand, I'm not saying he's tossing 70 miles an hour Jimmy Moyer style here, but I think that there's just higher upside plays now than Adam Wainwright. Like, rather than bouncing on the bounce back from him, I think I'd rather try to jump on one of these younger guys and just hope he breaks out.
Break out, yeah.
Yeah, the one guy I think is going to get a chance, who was a guy that a couple months back was getting a lot of love, is Luke Weaver. Lance Lynn, I don't know if he had a setback yesterday, but I don't know what he's going to be able to do coming back from the Tommy John.
Well, that was my next step here.
Jumping the gun.
No, you're jumping the gun. You're actually transitioning brilliantly. that was kind of the next step with Lance Lynn. And Lynn, of course, is coming back from the Tommy John surgery. And whenever he has been healthy, and for the most part throughout his career before last year, he was. And now, I believe he's starting a minor league game tomorrow. That's still true, right?
I believe so. That's going to be interesting to watch if all things go forward with that. I mean, he is a guy of interest, obviously, but if there's like any kind of setback or, you know, they feel they need to slow it down, because that rotation, there's actually a lot of question marks. I mean,
there are. Now, he had a little tweak earlier this week, which is why he's pitching a minor league game tomorrow. And if all goes well, he'll be in the rotation. He'll pitch, I believe, game three next week. So, you know, Lance Lynn is a guy that I have been on this spring. He's a guy that you're getting late. Doesn't cost you all that much. And for some reason, Corey, besides you, we all kind of like owning Cardinals players. For some reason, you feel good about it.
Huh? Repeat that. I'm sorry.
Besides you, we like owning Cardinals players.
Yeah, because you know that they have a good system, a good organization. They do a good job. So you kind of feel like a player goes into that spot, he's more likely to play well and be a fantasy asset for your team, mainly because of the name on the front of his jersey, even like more so than the name on the back of the jersey. The fans, I don't know, but the players, I'm in on the players, except for Adam Wainwright. I'm a fool with Adam Wainwright. What's the other one? Colton Wong? Blah.
Yeah. I'm out of Colton Wong too. I'm not interested.
He was a thing a couple years ago.
Sure, like to me, even though you have Jed Jericho there, obviously, and Johnny Peralta, you have all these guys. To me, wouldn't the move be like moving Matt Carpenter back to second base and let Matt Adams play first base with how hot he has been this offseason?
Well, I mean, Adams has been hot. I mean,
scorching.
There's no doubting that. But I think Colton Wong should be inserted there. Just let him play, and if, like, you know, after 50 games or something, he's just not getting it done, then you move on. But I think they need to get his back and just put him in the lineup. I think there is talent there. Maybe it's because when I lived in Hawaii, he was like all the rage out there, and it was like all I heard of.
Is he Hawaiian?
Was Colton Wong. He played for U of H.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're not the Rainbow Warriors anymore. They're just the Warriors.
Really?
Oh, the Rainbow
Warriors. I believe they dropped the Rainbow.
I didn't know that.
They got a little hardcore now.
Okay.
And the Rainbow Warriors don't excite
but
fans.
But the one thing I'll say is, like, this week, this last week or so, when you hear the news on players, it's so tough what to do in drafts. Because, like we mentioned yesterday, there's guys you like, and then you pull back because of the news. The Gregory Polanco news is really getting a little frightening. And then I am probably frightening. I'm just worried about the shoulder. You know, the shoulder, he's had the problem with it. It's not something we want to hear with a hitter, as we repeatedly say, or even a pitcher. So he's a guy that I was all excited about, but now I'm trying to, like, tamp my expectations and, you know, do I take him in the fourth round, fifth round if he's there? You know, there's those kind of questions. And if you don't take him and he's 100% healthy, then you're like, damn, I missed out on a really good player.
And they have said, listen, they're very optimistic about it. He's going to start throwing again this weekend. And so Gregory Polanco is like, kind of where we were at yesterday. We don't really have an update. Like, he's hitting. He feels fine. He's not going to throw it this weekend. They're optimistic. That's all we know about this
guy.
That's
it.
Yeah. So continuing on back with the Cardinals now. I mentioned Matt Adams, how hot he has been this spring. I still feel like he deserves another shot. I've always, you know, honestly been a Matt Adams supporter. I've always been a Matt Adams guy. I owned him a couple of years ago. He had a bunch of home runs, and in the second half, he didn't get a hit. But I always believed he was talented. I feel like he deserves another shot. Going back to the rotation, though, it's now Wednesday. You're going to Vegas this weekend, Matt. Obviously, there's a final draft weekend, the final time we'll talk about drafts, you know, up until football season gets rolling. Although Corey's already starting it. You are?
Yeah.
Carlos Martinez.
Does this bother you?
Carlos Martinez. Is he an SP1? When it's all said and done, it is now time. There's no more games left to lose here. Is Carlos Martinez an SP1?
I think he's on the verge of it. Prior to spring training, I was a little hesitant. I mean, I've loved the talent. I loved the talent last year. I had a lot of shares of him. But he didn't make that correction with control or that next step. But the stuff is just looking so good this spring that it's hard not to like him. He's, to me, is borderline SP1 right now. He is one of the guys that has moved up in drafts. And if you want Carlos Martinez, you have to pretty much take him in the fourth round now.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And that's early in the
fourth
round.
That's two rounds, like, from where he was going. Maybe a round and a half to 2 rounds away he was going.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably going somewhere
why
like middle to late.
Why is his stock rising?
The stuff is just looking fantastic. You know, he's got the velocity. He's got that changeup is just crazy good. And this is year three for him as a starter. So that's something we have to take into consideration. He started in the bullpen, which is a nice way, which is the way they used to do it. You know, when you first came up, you started in the bullpen, and then you became a starter. And, I mean, there's just so much to like. I think he's, 25 years old right now. So this could be a big jump for him this season. And I'm kind of hoping for it because we took him on Sunday, me and Vicario.
For me, the rotation is rounded out after Carlos Martinez. I guess, hold on, before I do that, who would you rather have, Carlos Martinez or Masahiro Tanaka?
I think I had Tanaka like one spot ahead of him. I'd probably go Martinez now just for the National League.
I also have Tanaka one spot ahead of Carlos Martinez.
Yep.
For me,
they seem like the two pitchers that have done a lot. Their ADP is going upwards. You feel
absolutely,
what I'm
saying? Because they've had tremendous springs.
But let me ask you this: who's ADP? Like, if somebody's ADP is going up, whose ADP is dropping?
I think the answer to that question is David Price. Obviously, has gone down.
Yeah, obviously, that's a good call. Greg.
He's the first obvious one that's gone down. Carlos Carrasco has slipped a little bit due to his soreness, I think. So you have Carrasco's dropped a little bit, and I know for you, Matt, like a guy like Cole Hamels is in that range also, and he's kind of dropped because you just a lot of innings for an older guy. That's kind of it on the droppers, I think.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you summed it up perfectly. I did take Carlos Carrasco in the 4-5 turn yesterday. The fact that he did pitch the 3 innings, he's supposedly in line to start game 2 of the season. I'm going to take a gamble on that talent now. It's just he's pitched only over 150 innings once, but I mean, he can be crazy good, and even if I got 100, if I can get like 160 to 175, I'll be thrilled.
Let's take a break here. Let's continue talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, though. I want to get your thoughts, gentlemen, on Stephen Piscotty, ultimately. Like, he's a name that I think everyone was very, very high on coming into this spring, and now, you know, a bad spring later, and everyone's like, eh. And then I want to also mention a guy that everybody was super high on last spring, another outfielder who's going under the radar here in 2017. We break it down next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Chatting a little St. Louis Cardinals baseball today. Corey's least
my favorite team.
The Cardinal way.
Yeah.
The Cardinal way.
Everything that's right in America.
Absolutely.
The Midwest Mafia.
Now, I like that. Steve Piscotty's a name that, you know what, risers and followers a moment ago, I think Steve Piscotty's a name that's fallen a little bit. Because he was a guy, I think, that came in the spring, everyone's like, yeah, Steve Piscotty, yay! And now you're just like, I don't know about Steve Piscotty. I have all these questions. Now, I owned him when he came up a couple years ago. I owned him last year as well. And I don't have any shares thus far of Steve Piscotty.
I do.
You do? He's on your Tat Wars team.
Nah, he's on NFBC Draft Champions.
What made you draft Stephen Piscotty?
I like the round value of where he was going at the time. I thought that the way my roster construction was coming together, I think that he was a player that I was able to get a decent value on at the time. And I think that, you know, his .280 batting average along with his 20 home runs and such and maybe even 10 stolen bases, I feel is something that the young man would be able to bring. I'm going to pull up that draft right now. I'll let you know what round I got him in.
Well, Piscotty went in the third pick of the seventh round yesterday. He's a player that I don't think excites many people, but he is batting cleanup for the Cardinals, and he should produce at least what he did last year, I think. I mean, I really don't own him anywhere because in those middle rounds, there's other guys I'm looking at, but I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a solid player.
You don't sound excited about him, though.
You don't at all.
There's just nothing exciting about. That's my trying to be my point here. There's nothing exciting about Piscotty, but I think he's a solid option in the fact that he's going to return what he did last year and probably a little better, being that he's in the middle now. Now that he's batting cleanup every day, the 80 runs, the 80 RBIs, that should go up. I could see 25 home runs, you know, and maybe like, you know, like say a .280 batting average.
All right, so and here's the thing. He's not on this team. His homeboy, Randall Grichuk, is on the team. St. Louis Cardinal. And also Dexter Fowler's on the team. I don't know.
Just naming the outfield now?
Yeah, I know, right? Apparently, I'm in the Cardinal outfielders. Well, in the league I had, I had him in the 15-team league also, Matt. He went in round 9. He's not on my team. He went in round 9. Mm-hmm. But I remember he was a player I was looking at. But then some more investigation of the draft board, I saw that Jose Bautista was there, and I went with Bautista over Piscotty.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, that's the right move, I think.
No, I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah. Well, you got this draft was done the day after the Super Bowl, so you know what I'm saying? So
that's very interesting.
So you see how things
Of course.
Shake out between now and then. So this is like when, and not everybody's like Matt that's been doing it since October. You know what I'm saying? But, since the Cubs popped the bottles,
but,
Matt was like,
just
I got
to reiterate,
the main event, I got the first pick.
Just to reiterate on Piscotty, like I said, like you can hear me, I'm not like excited, but I think he's just he's a guy on your team that's going to be like just that core player that's just going to get it done for you. He should play every day, you know, the 23, 25 homers, maybe, you know, 6-7 stolen bases. He's going to contribute. So somebody maybe should. I don't know if I'd take him in the seventh, but somebody that should be is fantasy worthy.
I also don't think you should discount. Like you gave the home runs and stolen bases. I don't think you should discount. Also, 86 runs scored, 85 ribbies last
that's good
year,
right there.
And those are like really, really good.
I expect
good.
Those to go up, as I said.
You think those goes up because it's interesting. Because all the projections have them going down, which I think is interesting.
I don't know how his RBIs are going to go down if he's batting cleanup. I have to project that he's going to be over 90 RBIs, maybe close to 100 in that lineup. You have Fowler leading off. And with Fowler leading off, you got Diaz second, Carpenter third, Piscotty fourth. I mean, I do like the top of that lineup.
That gets me to little farther down in the lineup, actually, not higher up. I can talk about Matt Carpenter, but I think we all love him, and it's just
I think everybody loves him.
Matt Carpenter, yeah, he's amazing. All right, moving on. Randall Grichuk. He was last year. He was a huge darling for everyone last year, right? Like, everybody wanted a little piece of Randall Grichuk.
He popped off the wire, if I'm not mistaken, right? Oh, was he somebody that was...
I think he was drafted last year.
No, he was
year.
Drafted. I drafted him.
I drafted him too last
okay,
year.
Okay. Yeah, no, I had him in a couple.
Because I'm thinking back to last season, but, you know, it was different last year.
So he was, I mean, he was coming off a year back in 2015 where he had 17 homers and you thought... And only 103 games. You
that,
thought...
Did he pop off the wire in 2015?
He
Is
did.
That what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So everyone thought he was going to have a massive jump in 2016 playing every single day. That was like the goal. He was going to bat around cleanup, give or take, you know, a spot or two. And instead of really having his numbers go up, you know, the counting numbers actually all went up in 30 more games.
Yeah, but
it was not a good year for Randall Grichuk because Mike Matheny and the Cardinals coaching staff, the Cardinals organization, I don't want to say toyed with this guy, but they basically put him on notice from day one. If he didn't hit from day one, he was back in the minors. And he was in it literally back and forth from minors repeatedly, starting on the bench. Now, starting again, they didn't let him just... And Colton Wong, I know, has expressed this too. Like, they don't just let him play and figure it out.
They didn't figure... They let him figure it out. Well, he was striking out 30% of the... He struck out 30% of the time in 2016, and he walked at 5%. So, he wasn't figuring it out. Now, this is intriguing right here. His batting average on balls in play was .295.
Yeah, but I think the problem to start the season with Grichuk was Jeremy Hazelbaker had a tremendous spring.
I remember that.
Started the season the off like...
You know, on fire.
Yeah, it was a spring.
Thought he was
darling.
Like Babe Ruth or some crap like that. But and Grichuk started off so miserable that he kind of got pushed out. And like you said, they were he was up, he was down. Even though he hit like 25 homers last year, he didn't help you because you either had to cut him, you couldn't play him. So he really did nothing for you. I experienced it firsthand. I have gone back in on Grichuk. He's kind of like a 14th round player in a 15-team league. So
I'll tell you where I got him, man.
And the thing is, if you look at his second half numbers, he led Major League Baseball with a 48.2 hard hit percentage. And the dude has power. He has power. He hits fly balls at like 44%. You know, I think for the season it was like maybe just over 40 of the fly balls.
43.8.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you know, that's what you want from him. He's doing his job there. His hard hit rate on the season was just about 40%. Like I said, the second if he led MLB. So, I think batting him eighth right now is what they're saying on roster research. Like, I would flip him and say if it's Johnny Peralta or even Jed Jerko, he should be sixth. He should be no lower than sixth, in my opinion. And he's another guy that, you know what? He doesn't have to play center field this year. You got Fowler. You put him in the corner outfield. You let him get the at-bats. I mean, some of these guys, you know, they just need to know that the team has their back, that if they go, you know, 0-for-4 for a couple of days, they're not going to be sitting.
Yeah, it makes sense because who wants to perform under those kind of circumstances?
It makes it very, very hard, obviously.
Yeah. I dealt with that for a long time.
And it was hard for you, I bet.
I hated life.
Do you like life now?
I love it.
Okay.
I could see that smile.
And that laugh.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm out on Grichuk just because the power's there and I feel like nothing else. And I feel because the average was so bad last year. The OBP was so bad last year. He strikes out, as Corey mentioned, 30% of the time. The hard hit percentage is everything. I know his BABIP was a low .294. I'm down on him. There's other ways I can go, other directions to go, and I think.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm still in on him.
Please.
I think he's a 35 to 40 home run hitter, possibly. And he's kind of like... He's like the National League version of Miguel Sano, in my opinion. He doesn't have the third base eligibility. But, I mean, his power is totally real, and hopefully it comes to fruition. Batting eighth is not ideal. I do not want to see that. I think that's a...
Feels like Sano, though, has more power and strikes out more.
Yeah, no, that's... But these are still young players.
Right, of course.
You know, I mean, people are paying, like, eighth-round price in a 15-teamer. So, if they're paying that for Sano, who's striking out 36% of the time, I mean, he does have more power than Grichuk. But Grichuk, I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Randall Grichuk hits 35 home runs this season. If he bats anywhere in that 250 range, that's totally fine for me.
The Cardinals, we spoke about Dexter Fowler yesterday on the show. We all love Matt Carpenter. Where does Yadier Molina fall for you guys? Like, where, do you want Yadi?
I would like to have Yadi on my team. I'm just a person that, you know, I just hate paying for the catcher. And he's not going early, but it's
you, it was, feel, you feel as if he's going here, I can get some, put a little bit more, I can get some, I can get another value somewhere a little bit later on, right? Is that how you feel with it?
It's kind of like, I probably should take Yadi, to be honest with you.
I think he's a catcher one.
I would love to have him on a catcher one, but like the 13th round, I
too
just,
much.
For me, I just don't want to pay it. Like, I had to say, I had the choice. I took first pick of the 13th round, I went with Cam Bedrosian.
Okay, that makes sense.
I got my second closer.
Yeah, I feel you. That makes
sense. I mean, I played damn good in the WBC. I mean, he batted like 365 in the second half, but he did have like a 389 BABIP or something. You know, so. And it's such a demanding position that the injuries, you know, like he was banged up last year probably for the first half, and he had, you know, it's just tough. He's 34 years old.
That's a decent job, though. I'm looking at his games played past, you know, I mean, I'm looking at...
Oh, he's a warrior.
Yeah, 139, 138, 136, 136, 147. That's a lot of games played for a catcher.
Yeah, I mean, I hated him for a long time after what he did to the Mets. That, you know, he hit that 3-run homer in the ninth of game 7. And
that's kind
of
when I took a liking to him. I kind of figured that. That's when I bought his jersey.
But he was badass in the WBC, I will say that.
The rotation is rounded out once again by Michael Wacha. I know people like Scotty was super high on Luke Weaver coming into the spring. Michael Wacha wins that job with Reyes, of course, out for the season. Now, Michael
Wacha.
Man, it would
have been cool if he would have got to play this year, man.
Reyes? Yeah,
I would like cool. to see mm-hmm. that.
That would have. That's a shame. It just, as a baseball fan, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, Waka's back in the rotation. Are you back in on him?
He's a guy that I haven't drafted, but I think he deserved this. He deserves this last shot. I'll say that.
Okay.
The problem has been with the health. Can he stay healthy? And you know, he's always shown like flashes. He's never been able to put it all together. I'll say that. And the Cardinals are going to need him now. I mean, with Reyes not in the picture, that's a severe blow. They're banking on Wainwright to get things right, and you know there's a lot of ifs in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm looking at the, no man, my
you know, I mean, Mike Leake, I think he'll be better than he was last year. I think it was, you know, he was a guy that was trying to strike people out. Of course, the Cardinals defense was uncharacteristically bad, you know, and I think they've kind of made some improvements there. So
is Mike Leake someone you're on?
I mean, I would take him very late just to have that guy for innings. I mean, you know, he's not somebody I'm like excited to take, but if I need to fill some innings, you know, he's that late guy.
So I picked Mike Leake last year. I was like, oh, he's on the Cardinals now. He's going to turn it around. He had the worst April ever, so I dropped him. And then, of course, you know, he went on to have a solid year, and that's kind of like Leake.
He's one of the back end guys that you fill in for the innings.
Yep, exactly.
How do you feel about Greg's Matt, about Greg's lack of patience on players? Because I think it's two different ways you can look at it. Because for one, you kind of like, well, drop the play or whatever. You know, be patient. He can come back. He could bounce back. You know what I mean? And then he's on the waiver wire and you mess it up when you had him. But it's also a train of thought where he's not going to turn it around and you're going to be a jackass and keep putting him in your lineup to start every week.
Well, I would say
so
this.
So that's why maybe some people like to cut him and just, I'm done with the situation altogether.
As you say, like the back of the baseball card, I wouldn't be so quick to cut guys that have proven that they have the track record, that back of the baseball card. Those are the guys I would hold on to longer. Like guys you're taking flyers on, or like, you know, like Randall Grichuk, if after the first month he's not doing it, you know, you can cut ties and, you know, move on. Especially like in a in a league where you can make daily moves, like if you see this pitcher come up and he strikes out like 12 guys, he's a guy that's just worth taking a flyer.
So I think, so one of the reasons I am so quick to cut people is like, I see people that are killing my team. Like, you see it, certainly in a roto league, even in my head-to-head league. Like, when you're seeing a guy like Mike Leake, who, as I said, I was drafted last year, getting bombed every start. Why am I only on him?
But no, no, but that's the perfect example. I mean, Mike Leake isn't a guy you hold on to. But if one of your, you know, one of the guys, you know, like say your number three starter has a rough April, you kind of have to hold on to that. Like I've made the comparison in the past, guys like Brian Dozier, Justin Turner, those first 2 months were miserable months.
Justin Turner, Brian Dozier were both dropped in my league last year.
And I was at the point where I almost cut Justin Turner in my 15-team league, and I was like, this guy is just doing absolutely nothing. But I'm like, I can't cut him. I can't. I have to hold on a little longer, and thank God I did. And then I was rewarded. I mean, the month of June, he went crazy. And Brian Dozier, we all know what happened there.
Yeah, you messed up with that, Greg.
I didn't say I dropped Brian Dozier.
Oh, you said he was dropped.
He was dropped in my league. Yeah, I picked up Justin Turner, for the record.
Good job.
So, thank you. So, like, I think that it obviously depends on the player. Like, I sat here last May, and I asked Ronis and I asked Scotty every day, can I drop Anthony Rendon? Because he was so awful April and May. And like, they're like, literally, we get your frustration. He's awful. Give it to like June 1st. And it picked up a little bit. He went up having a nice season. So, you know.
Yeah, there are guys that just have slow starts. They have those bad Aprils.
There are.
It's just part of the game.
Let's take a break here, gentlemen. When we come back, we're talking about the biggest story from yesterday. It's one we mentioned, but I need to dive into it now because the starting left fielder in Texas isn't who we thought it was going to be. And now there's a lot more value than there probably was. We break that down next. Note from yesterday, and there's a couple of them. The biggest note was that Delino DeShields Jr. has earned the opportunity to start in left field for Texas, which means Jerickson Profar is once again going to be the ultimate utility man for the Rangers. Now, that's just a start, of course. Things can change from April to September, no doubt. And Delino DeShields, as you remember, was the starting center fielder just a year ago for Texas. He really struggled and back in the minors, and you know they wound up going in a different direction. This year, Delino DeShields, with really only a thought to maybe come off the bench as a speed guy or perhaps even start in the minors this year. He's batted well over 300 this spring, 12 for 12 in stolen bases, which I mentioned yesterday. Oh, yeah, late round fly. We'll see if he plays. Now, Jeff Batister kind of indicated that he's going to be the starting left fielder. He has put himself, he says he always tells the guys that you got to force your way into the lineup, and he believes that Delino DeShields Jr. has done just that. Now, I don't know if he's going to bat ninth or he's going to bat first. All I do know is when he gets on base, he's going to run. Where should we now, Matt, as we're just a few days away from opening day, right? We are, I believe, just 5 days away from the Rangers' first game. Where should we be drafting Delino DeShields? Because I don't think the question anymore is, should we be drafting him? It's where should we be drafting him?
I mean,
him?
We got to now, yeah.
Yeah, he's late teens, I would say. That's in a 15-teamer, so just do the math for the 12. But I want to say a funny story. For me, it's a sad story.
Oh.
On Saturday, being that I had the first pick in the draft, I also am the guy that ends the draft.
Yeah, you have Mr. Irrelevant.
So they said, who's Mr. Irrelevant? So I had two names in my head. Two. It was Adam Frazier, who I like in Pittsburgh, who I think is going to play outfield, all over the infield, and he's playing great. So and I think he's better than some of their options they have. So I thought maybe this is a player I just take, see what happens. Maybe he gives me like multiple eligibility. And the other guy was Delino DeShields.
Wow.
And I said, Adam Frazier. And the anger that builds up at me these past couple of days. I have these, like, rage moments.
This was purposely done.
Because now it's like, what am I going to spend on Delino DeShields this weekend? I'm not gonna go crazy. Because, like you said, he's been great this spring or whatever. 12 stone bases. I thought they were finally going to give Profar the opportunity. I thought they were like, this is Jerickson Profar's job. They got Carlos Gomez there. I mean, Delino DeShields, maybe he's just a, you know, the guy that played once a week, came off the bench, as you mentioned. Even if he made the team, or maybe he didn't even make the team at all at that point. But, you know, now he's now he's the starting center fielder, and I'm furious.
He's going to start, obviously, in that outfield, Corey. And we talked a lot earlier in the spring, I think. We stopped on it because we harped on it so long for about 2 weeks. About D. Gordon and Billy Hamilton and Jose Peraza, guys that, you know, will study 50 bases, right? Lionel DeShields is all about playing time. He plays every day. He's going to get there as well.
You think 50?
If he played every day, no question.
Really?
Yeah. He had 12 in the last month.
I was thinking more like 30, 35.
If
he plays every day, I would say 40 is just... It's pretty safe.
Wow.
That's what he can be.
The dude can run. Now we're getting these speed guys, as you mentioned. We got the Shields. We got Raul Mondesi Jr.
Yep.
You know,
who'd you rather have, Mondesi Jr. or Lionel DeShields?
If I knew DeShields was playing every day.
Well, I'm saying right now, here's what you do know.
He's got the second. I'd probably say DeShields.
Okay. Because I would too. I think he's going to get on base more.
I do like, yeah, that's the thing. But I do like the second base eligibility on...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look at the Lionel DeShields, and the fact is, we talked about all these speed guys earlier on. This is a guy that has potential to steal all of this, and it doesn't cost you anything. You're saying a 15-teamer, you're taking him in the late teens. I think that's right. Like, I really believe that's right.
The night before, he went... In say I'll say the 25th to the 27th round.
The key is going to be his ability to get on base and what he has done this spring, if that will drop Carlos Gomez down. Because roster resources has Carlos Gomez leading off for this team.
Which he should have, in my opinion.
I don't disagree, but this also has, as of now, Delano DeShields on the bench. He doesn't have him in
there. See, this, the Shields news could change that.
It could change the entire lineup. Now, he could leave it, right? Because they had Profar batting last. You could just put the Shields in the 9 spot. They could certainly do that. It's possible. But it could also totally flip-flop things. Like, Shinsu Chu batting second, which I don't understand. To me, I would have put the Shields up top and then put Carlos Gomez second. But whatever. This Rangers lineup, gentlemen, is going to be something we're going to have to watch for. That's the answer. You're just going to have to watch it.
Yeah, no, if he gets the leadoff spot, I mean, I got to figure out what I'm going to bid on this clown now, because I'm just, you know. He's a guy you have to be interested in. I mean, I'm not going to go too crazy on it, but, I mean, the speed, like you're saying, the speed is real. I mean, he's got, the stolen base totals are just, you know, insane in the limited time he has. You know, playing in Texas, but can he keep the job this time?
That's the number one thing. Yeah. Can he keep it?
This is a guy that you could spend a lot of money in Fab, and you know, by the end of April, he's in the minors. Profar is the everyday left fielder. They got Ryan Rua, who they do love in Texas. So, I mean, he has to hit. He has to get on base. Put it that way.
He has to be. He has to be able to get on base.
So you know what. Remember I was saying I need sunshine for J.D. Martinez? Mm-hmm. You think maybe?
Well, they're different players. Totally
I understand that, but I'm going to need to make a pickup this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Fab league you're into right there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's just, I mean, you have to decide how much you're willing to pay for him.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, there is a really nice upside in speed, but there's also a downside in a month where if he's not getting on base, it's going to be Profar out there, maybe Ryan Rua having some days in left.
Okay.
I have to figure it out myself. I got to sit down and have some deep thoughts.
Jack Handy.
The New York Yankees yesterday.
You don't remember that?
Nope.
Saturday Night Live. Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy?
That was the name? I remember Deep Thoughts. I didn't know.
Is that before my time?
Probably before your time.
Who played him, Jack Handy?
Huh?
Who played Jack Handy?
Nah, it was like they just would do talk. He just would talk.
Who was it?
It was, what I'm saying is, it was a voiceover.
Who voiced it?
I'm not sure who voiced it.
Yeah. Okay.
See, it's right here.
I believe you. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm making sure I was right.
I thought you were making some dirty joke that I was trying to just go past.
No, come on. Come on, Sussman.
Son, Sussman. Okay. The New York Yankees yesterday put out their potential lineup. And there's a lot of interesting notes, Corey.
Okay.
Number one, Aaron Judge was not in it.
Well, where are you going to play?
Aaron Hicks started. Judge came off the bench and, of course, hit a home run.
Jobu.
So, that's number one. Number two was Jacoby Ellsbury did not bat first or second in this
really?
One.
He's ninth.
He batted fifth.
He's never batted fifth, too.
In his life. Leading off was Brett Gardner. Number two was Gary Sanchez.
It's intriguing.
Number three was Greg Bird. Number four was Matt Holliday. And number five was Jacoby Ellsbury. What does that make you think about some of the Yankees players
I'm not,
I just mentioned?
I'm not a manager, you know what I'm saying? Matt would know more, but you got to think. Gary Sanchez batting second.
I mean, I would like Sanchez in the two-hole in a different, deeper lineup. I don't think the Yankees lineup is deep enough for him to be batting second, because when you look at the second, when you look at the bottom half of that lineup, I really don't like it. Right now, Aaron Judge is penciled in at eighth on roster resource, but Aaron Hicks seems like the guy that they're going to go with at first. But, I mean, Ellsbury batting fifth is, I don't know. I don't really like that. I understand why they want to break up the two lefties up top. That I get. I think Sterling Castro maybe batting second, put Sanchez third, Bird fourth, and Holliday fifth. I kind of like that better. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Chase Headley, I don't like him. No. And then you could put like a Judge Hicks kind of combo, or I don't know. And then you got Tyler Wade right now, I see, is the starting shortstop for the Yankees.
I think it's interesting with Gary Sanchez.
I don't like this team. I gotta say, I'm not a fan of this.
He's taking, you know.
I can take a shot. Every now and then I can take a shot.
So, yeah, no, it's warranted.
The Yankees, a lot of things really interesting. Like, it's not going to change where I draft Gary Sanchez, because you knew he would be right in the middle, whether it's second or not. I wasn't drafting Jacoby Ellsbury or Brett Gardner, so it doesn't really do anything for me. It's just like an interesting thing from like a Yankees fan perspective more than anything else.
Yeah, it just, I mean, Ellsbury, I thought, was kind of a nice cheap option this year.
Give me a lot of the Shields.
But batting fifth, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
I don't think there's anything to think about, honestly. Like I said, to me, it's a Yankee fan thing. It's not a fantasy thing.
I'm more curious what's going on with Jordan Montgomery. Is he going
to
make
I think that's a question we're going to have to hear answered over the next couple of days. Let's take a break, gentlemen. When we come back on the Roto Experts in the morning, we'll talk a little bit more baseball. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts. Yesterday also saw the final warm-up for Michael Fulmer, the Detroit Tigers, the reigning rookie of the year. 5 innings, 1-run ball. While Daniel Norris going through that dead arm, as we talked about yesterday, Michael Fulmer, Matt, just going right along.
I mean, let's go back to last year. He had that amazing month. I mean, that was like a historic month. It was like 30 innings, and nobody could score on him and do nothing. And then the second half happened. He is somebody of interest. He's somebody that, for some reason, I own zero shares of. So maybe I'm wrong on him this year, but I'm willing to be wrong on him. There's other guys I like more than Fulmer. I know some other people are very high on him. That second half did not excite me. The K-9 really plummeted. And when I break him down, I look at a guy. I mean, his changeup is what really catapulted him. But when I break him down, and I just looking at that second half,
it's not enough for you.
It's kind of showing me, like, look, he came up, he had, like I said, a whirlwind. I mean, it was pretty damn impressive what he was able to do. But he's pretty much a 4 ERA over his last 82 innings, a 6.5 K9. That's just not exciting. That's not going to get it done. The ground ball percentage is 50%. So that was good. The walks per nine were under two. Another good sign. So it's a guy I could be wrong on. It's a guy I'm willing to be wrong on.
I'm definitely not as excited as many people on Michael Fulmer. I know, like, Frank Stanfield's incredibly excited about him. He's like his guy. For me, you pointed the K-9 going down, and that was something I think he tired out. I think it's fair to say, you know, is it a long season for Michael Fulmer? So I think it's fair to say that, like, he's got a little bit tired and maybe he didn't have the stuff he had in April, right? I think when it's all said and done, there's just going to be other people there when Fulmer is going. There's going to be other people that I want, I think. Like, James Paxton, of course, comes to mind, right, Bodega?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not even close.
That's easy, right?
And I try and compare them to when people say, like, Paxton. I mean, look, everybody loves Paxton. We know that.
Yep.
The only argument that I've made to try and defend Paxton is I think paying up for him is worth it. That's what I think, because what he was able to do. And Michael Fulmer pitched last season between the minors and the majors. It was mostly majors, like 172 innings. And I think Paxton between minors and majors pitched 171 innings. So there were, I mean, as far as the innings go, when you want to play the innings game and, you know, how much they pitched, they were pretty much right there.
100%. 100% with you, I totally agree. The other story from yesterday is your Alex Wood pick didn't go well.
Yeah, but he's a guy that I will still draft this weekend late.
Why?
Because I believe he will be in that rotation, and the skills warrant it. One of the things you should do in, say, those last, say you're in a 30-round draft, a deep league, like a 15-teamer, is you want guys who also can be, or if they're going to be in the bullpen, can pitch multiple innings.
I mean, he's a guy that
I'm willing to stash.
It's interesting you're willing to stash him, because we also know that Julio Urias is there too. And, like, you know, and I talked about him a little bit yesterday on the news desk, that, like, his arm still has to get built up and all that stuff, and Alex Wood probably be the next man up. Like, you don't know that, though.
No, I understand, and like I said, he's going to get the multiple innings in relief, most likely. I'm not buying Brandon McCarthy. I think the Dodgers made a couple of terrible signings with Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy. They gave them, you know, multiple years and some nice money, and, you know, as smart as people say they are, even smart people make stupid decisions at times. So, I mean, for now, he's a guy that I like. I mean, there's even guys, if at the in, like, the end game in those last couple of rounds, if there's no pitcher that has a, say, starting role, and there's no, like, reliever that's really threatening to be a closer,
right,
a guy like David Phelps is an excellent option.
Interesting.
He's going to pitch multiple innings. I mean, he struck out 114 batters. I mean, he did start, like, say, five games, maybe less. It wasn't like he was pitching as a starting pitcher. He was mostly in relief. And those guys, there are times when, look, you want to have that swing man option where you can put that two-start guy in. Some weeks you can't do it. And if you can put that, like, a Chris Davinsky type, he's going to go much higher. But I'm saying, a Phelps doesn't. A Phelps is there for you at the very end. And a Phelps is going to get you Ks. So if he pitches, like, six innings in a week and gets you, like, 10 Ks and doesn't give up a run or gives up, like, one run, that's like a start.
It's a great point. Yeah, Corey, something people don't really even think about either, right? They're so intent on, like, the power reliever, the guy that could become the closer. Never the guy that's, like, the middle reliever that's going to give you two or three innings,
just
right?
The guy, you know what I'm saying? Just a guy hanging out there, just a jack hanging out there, just, you know, workman type coming, doing his job, you know what I'm saying? A couple nights out of the week, people be like, oh, it's not real exciting there, but these are players that can help. They can help your numbers and your 5x5 numbers on the pitching side.
I'm going to give you a guy in a 12-team just to put on your watch list.
Yep.
In a 15-team league, I think he should be drafted. I've been taking him. I took him with the last pick last night just because I had to take two catchers in the 28th and 29th round. People snaked me on, like, Jet Bandy and stuff, so I had to take Morocco and Nick Hundley. But the guy that I would take in a 15-team league, I've taken him all weekend, except when Rob Silver sniped him from me, is Ryan Presley of the Minnesota Twins. I think that he's somebody that could usurp Kinsler, and he's had a really good spring. He's got a good fastball-slider combo, and he's somebody that, like I said, should be getting attention.
There you go. Ryan Pressly, Minnesota Twins, a deep catcher sleeper for Matty Modiga. Pitcher.
Relief pitcher.
Relief pitcher, sorry. You talked about catchers a second ago.
I had to take catchers before him. That's why I took
He's such a deep sleeper, I have no idea who he is.
I'm sorry. Sorry I confused you there. I did throw the little curveball in there.
So there you go. Hey, on the other side of the hour, we're getting to a little football here, including Ben McAdoo having new comments on the trip to Miami. Did you hear about this, Corey?
No, I didn't.
He had a new trip on the boat trip, heard around the world. I also asked Maddie and Corey their thoughts on weekly changes versus daily changes and how that changes the strategy, if at all. Gentlemen, that is coming all up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Corey, the Fantasy Executive, Farson, Matt Modica, CTM Baseball is here live with you. One more hour. The OGs are next. This half hour was a little football. I also have a strategic question, which we're going to start off the hour with. Then we will wrap it up with the Weakest Link this morning. We'll be joined by a special guest coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time for that. Now, gentlemen, we mentioned before, and you said it, Matt, that, hey, especially in a league that you have daily changes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I have found I play in leagues that are both daily changes and weekly changes. So I play in both types. So I feel at least I am experienced enough to comment on the situation. I can honestly say that I feel eminently less engaged in the weekly league than I am in the daily league. I can't make my daily pitching changes. I can't take guys out when they don't play and put guys in when they do play. Picking up the hot free agent, I probably have to wait until a certain day when waivers go through. I have to constantly remind myself, oh yeah, there's waivers this week. Oh yeah, it's Monday morning. I gotta set my lineup. And then it's like I almost don't need to check it every day because it's like I can't do anything. I feel hamstrung. Like my hands are tied, literally. And in the daily changes, I feel like I'm just more into it. I am more into that team because literally every morning I have something to do with it. I have to update the lineup. I have to check to make sure all my guys are playing. I have to, all right, compare. Oh, should I pick up a pitcher for tomorrow? I have all these other decisions. And it has me incredibly more engaged. When my friends all brought up, you know, should we make our daily league a weekly league? I'm like, that's going to cause all of us not to care. And eventually the league will die. That is how strongly I feel against the weekly changes. In basketball, I was in a daily basketball league and a weekly basketball league. The first round of the playoffs happened. We were in a great position. We were the 3 seed going in. We had a fantastic team. Isaiah Thomas gets hurt. Devin Booker gets hurt. Markieff Morris gets hurt. DeMarcus Cousins gets hurt. And we lose because I had four or five guys that were hurt that week, missed a couple of games, and I couldn't do anything about it. And for me, a fantasy league should be something I could change every day, that I actually have the ability to maneuver around, not something where my hands are literally tied behind my back due to an injury. Something that I had no, it wasn't my fault. Listen, if I leave a pitcher in there and he gets bombed, or I forget to put a pitcher in on a daily change, that's on me. But if my players get hurt, that's just unlucky. And if I want to take the luck out of fantasy baseball or the luck out of fantasy in general, I need to be able to make a daily change.
I am a fan of daily changes and playing in daily leagues. For me, it would definitely limit the amount of leagues that I do. Of course, what I have come to the happy medium, at least for me, is the way they do it in the NFBC, where you get to change your, you know, you set your lineup on Monday, and then you can change your hitters only. You can't change your pitchers, but you can change your hitters For Friday, for the weekend. So that, to me, kind of is a perfect trade-off. Of course, you know, the guys aren't in there all week. And also, you could play, like, say some of your guys are going to Colorado, somebody you had on the bench, you could put them in for that weekend. The daily, I mean, I like it. It does keep you more engaged, like you said. But it's... I think the reason they went to weekly, and I think the happy medium is the twice a week, is for some people maybe it was just too much. They wanted to play fantasy baseball, but it's, you know, every day for 6 months was just too much for them to handle. I mean, I could get that argument too, and my basic response is going to be playing the league that
works
like.
For you.
Yeah,
that works best for you. Like, I couldn't sit up there. If you if you want to do lineups every day for baseball, mm-hmm. it's DraftKings and FanDuel have that option. So it's kind of like...
Well, it's a little different because I it's different players every day.
It's true, but it's still, it gives you a chance to tinker with. Now, you want to be able to do your regular lineup every day, mm-hmm. then playing daily lineups. For me, I would be dead last if you do daily lineups. Because I'm not going to make changes daily. I got too much going on in my day-to-day.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So I hear that. It's the most common argument, right? I got mm-hmm. too much going on. I can't do it. What do you do every morning? You sit and talk about fantasy baseball every day.
Yeah.
Every single day. So you're telling me in our 2 to 3 minute commercial that we have four times an hour, you couldn't set a lineup?
I'd rather a day, like the Sunday night waiver run. You feel what I'm saying? I like that because then I can gather all my thoughts. I got me a couple hours where I can sit down. I can look at where I'm at. I have more time to get deep with it and really maneuver my roster. Whereas on a day-to-day basis, I might, okay, let me pick this guy up. And, he, you know, it could be a mistake. You feel what I'm saying? I can really get in depth to my lineup movement once a week.
My counter argument to that is, all right, Sunday night's your waiver run, right? Like you put all your claims in on Sunday night. What happens if on Tuesday we find out that J.D. Martinez is out for the year and they just...
J.D. Martinez. Greg, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I just used the guy that was out already.
But still.
All right. On Tuesday, we find out that Delino DeShields is going to be the starter, right? We find out on Tuesday. Your waivers don't run until Sunday. What did you forget? You forgot about Delino DeShields.
No, I'm not going to forget about Delino DeShields.
How are you not going to forget about him?
Because I know Sunday comes, bam, let me sit down. Go through, okay, oh yeah, you know what, yeah, it's, you
but
know,
how
whatever.
Do you know you're not going to remember that? It was 6 days ago.
Nah, I don't look at it like that. I think once you get in there and you get to running the waivers and you go through, you see, you update, you look, you see who's on the wire, whatever, you may have a category, you weaken, a position, whatever the case may be, and you go, okay, oh, you look, his son is on the wire, let me go grab him, let me put my bid in. And that's how I prefer to operate.
The better example for me, Matt, is a closer, okay? Closers change almost daily for multiple teams. Genemar Gomez early in the year last year, before he became the superstar that he was, he was the third guy in the pecking order. First weekend of the season, first two guys are Philly blow saves. Genemar Gomez has an opportunity, picks a save against the Mets, actually. And in my daily league, I went and picked him up. And in my weekly league, I had to wait a couple days before waivers ran. And I forget. Oh yeah, I forgot. Jim Marzico. I forgot. I didn't make this move here. Like the only way I guess I could do it is put the claim in immediately. But then I gotta adjust prices and think about how much I want to spend and realize, all right, how badly do I need it? Like, I'm going to forget things. I already have forgotten things when it comes to the weekly. When the weekly changes, where I only have waivers once or twice, it doesn't lead me to my best.
And once again, I do get the argument on both sides, and. If you're committed and want to do the daily moves, I'm all for it. But you need to have, first of all, you need to have a league of players that's committed to that too, because you don't want like half the league checking out come football. You know what? It was fun the first half, but the All-Star break's here. I'm out, and we're gonna check out. But that's the commitment level. And like Corey said, you know, he's got other things going on in his life. He's the, you know, he's the hardest working man.
I'm a fantasy executive. Yeah, this is not, you know, this
he needs a secretary.
This is, yeah, this is, you not know, this is not a given name. You know what I'm saying? I work for it.
But if you work for it, then do it every day.
Greg. No, you can't do it every day.
You can, I do it.
Yes, okay then. So then I need to hire a fantasy GM.
Why?
Because I got too,
how many teams do you have?
Too much.
How many teams do you have?
That I need to set lineups for every day? I mean,
zero.
How many?
Zero. The answer's zero.
Zero that I set lineups for every day. My teams that I'll be setting, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to do another league
on
Sunday night.
How many leagues do you have
right
now? Honestly.
I'm in one league.
Well, you're in two. You got the NFL. You got the NFL.
You got the Towers. You got the NFC.
Yeah, and the auction. But I have
partners.
Yeah, you know what I mean. As far as you know, just me and my responsibility.
You're so responsible. You have Towers. You have one.
You know, I didn't know if you heard about.
I got you. Yeah. That's awesome. Now,
thank you.
You're welcome.
We were popping the champagne about that.
Exactly.
All right. So you have your one league. You have Towers. That is your sole responsibility. Fantasy executive, what in the hell are you updating every day then? Nothing.
I'm still doing football, Greg.
You haven't, okay, you're doing football, but you're
I'm doing
what
football.
What does
doing,
that mean?
I'm doing, put your headphones back on. I'm doing football, I'm doing DFS baseball. I got two kids, you know what I'm saying?
But you don't need to do DFS, baseball, you can focus on your teams.
No, I want to do DFS baseball.
That's even more work than your daily teams.
But I like it. I like the instant gratification of it. If I want a general manager experience, if I want that experience in baseball, I'm doing a DFS. I'm not worried about, you know what I'm saying, going in and setting my season-long lineup daily. How do waivers run in that? Is it first come, first serve? I can't deal with first come, first serve. I could be on
I
here.
Am not a fan of first come,
yeah,
first serve.
Yeah, I can't
serve.
Deal with it's that. If your league has first come, first serve, I'm not sitting up there while you have the opportunity to sit on the damn computer all day and pick up and drop and pick up and drop, and I'm at work trying to make, you know what I'm saying, trying to make it to take care of
even
these
though,
kids.
Even though your work is in the fantasy industry.
Still, Greg, you get what I'm saying. In the daily leagues, how does the waivers work? Because the way the waivers work is important to me because it has to be fair.
Now it could be there's multiple ways you can do it. You can do first come first serve, which of course I like because I am I'm being partisan. I work in fantasy. I'm sitting on Twitter all day. It's my job, so it's beneficial to me.
Mm-hmm. Right? See, I don't like that because yeah, you're taking advantage.
I
your
agree.
Your friend that's a lawyer that's in that
100%.
When the news breaks and he's in trial, you know what I'm saying? How fair is that to
it's
him?
Not fair.
He paid the same entry fee as you.
Yeah, the heart surgeon who's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you saying the drug's more important than what we did? He's like, what, Jimbo Gomez? You could do it where it's daily waivers, putting bids every day.
Nah, it's too much for me. It's too much for me.
It's why I like to do it, man. I can't. I wouldn't want it another way. Like, is this a GST league? Is this a weekly league?
I'm sure the GST
I'm
is
sure
going to
be a weekly league.
That's so boring.
But how
but
is that
if
boring?
You, it works out in that league because Ando's going to tell you, let's think about it and have a beer.
Yeah, so, not really. Yeah.
Pickleback. We'll have some pickleback.
Let's pickleback. Putting some waiver claims. The problem is this guy's in Tout Wars. This guy's in NFC. Like, he's like. Sue the GST. I'll be like, oh, thanks for your donation. Thanks for investing in my team. That's what that's going to be. So, anyway, it's interesting. We're on the opposite ends of an argument here.
At least you got the number two pick.
I had the number two pick. It's pretty exciting.
Oh, you got the number two pick in GST?
I did.
Oh, that's what's
are you
up.
In it?
No, I'm not in GST.
You coming?
I'm shocked.
I'm trying to make it to the. I'm going to try my best to be. I have auctioneer duties.
So you got a lot of auctioneer duties going on.
Yeah, so I'm going to try. Well, listen,
you're one of the most highly booked auctioneers in New York City, I think.
Yeah, I am. So I got a 19-teamer that starts at 9 o'clock that morning.
Oh, so you're not going to make it.
Yeah, so I don't know what time y'all going to be
finished.
You're
coming home at 9 o'clock.
You start at 10 a.m.
Start at 10.
Yeah,
I'm going to push the pace. If I can make it over there and hang out and have a couple beers with you guys, I'll definitely be there. Nobody loves the Greenwich Street Tavern like I do.
It's a pretty sweet spot.
Yeah. I like the Greenwich Street Tavern. Big fan.
Yeah.
Good food.
You used to go there even before you knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I say that all the time. You probably don't even know this, but Dika, I used to go to the Greenwich Street Tavern before I knew Vaccaro owned it. Like, I went there. I just liked the spot. I thought it was good food, good atmosphere. So I liked it. And then when I talked to Vaccaro and he tells me he owns the bar, I'm like, you have the best wings in New York City.
Did you tell him that the Buffalo chicken dip is a must.
I have made that very clear. And if he's listening right now, once again, I will not be attending the draft on Saturday. The Buffalo chicken dip is not there.
My daughter's mother makes a very good buffalo chicken dip.
I like to think I make a good buffalo chicken dip as well.
I haven't tasted it in years, but
but that thought.
It is what it is, though.
But that thought.
Yeah, this is the thought of it. I was like, well, she's very good at that.
That's cool. Cole net notes before we hit the break. Syndergaard opening day starter for the Mets next Monday. No surprise. He'll be followed by Jacob DeGrom and Matt Harvey against the Braves.
Oh, that's going to be the good one, Matt Harvey. I'm stacking Braves that day. I'm running the Braves stack when Matt Harvey takes the mound.
There you go. Make sure you get all those Braves in there. All right, last Met note, Jarius Familia expected to hear about his suspension, potential suspension today. So be on the lookout for that if you haven't drafted quite yet. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little football, including Ben McAdoo in his thoughts or new thoughts on the boat. We'll also talk about the what we think of DeMarco Murray. Of course, Corey already has an auction starting for football today. Did I make that up?
Yeah, no, actually, it still needs one more spot to fill, so it'll start tomorrow at 11 a.m. And basically, you nominate everybody nominates three players a day, and then it's like an email auction, and we keep, you know, bidding on the player. The player sits on the block for 24 hours.
There you go. So we'll talk about, we'll break that down. It's actually very interesting.
Sammy Watkins as well?
Yeah, he's broken. We'll talk a little football, including Jason Witten. A lot of football news next here on the Road Experts. So the boat story that won't go away.
I love it.
I bet you do.
I wish I was on that boat.
Same. Tony Romo's story won't go away either, so don't worry about that. Don't worry.
He doesn't play for us anymore. The players that don't know that boat still play for you.
It's true. Nevertheless, Ben McAdoo changed his tune yesterday and basically was like, listen, you know, when they're in the building, we got to be all about football. When we're out of the building, we got to know when to say no. And they're like, is that directly? And the reporters asked him, is that directly related to the boat? And he's just like, interpret it how you will. So, clearly, about the boat! About the boat. Why are we still talking about this, Modica?
I mean, I don't know. It's time to move on. I'm just thinking about these, you know, circa boat stories. Once the Raiders go to Vegas, there's going to be a lot of stories going. Giants need to move on, regroup, focus on the upcoming season. You know, they got Brandon Marshall in. Who's the back they got? The pass catching guy,
James Ring,
Sean Drone.
Sean Drone. They
added him into the mix.
Yeah.
You know, the defense was, you know, really got better and better every week. So they have some good things here. I mean, Let's move on from things. Stop killing Eli in the media. Let's rally around, and the Giants should be a really good team in 2017. And, you know, that boat has sailed.
That ship has sailed.
Was that a joke? The ship has sailed.
You know what? This guy, this McAdoo, he's not a good coach.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not a good coach. You know, that defense took them to the playoffs last year. That defense,
no question about it,
made the difference for that team last year.
Absolutely.
And then you see some of the things this guy says and some of the things he does. He's not a good head coach, and that's going to be a problem. He's going to make players start to dislike him.
He's in the vein of those coordinators who get the head coaching job that are good coordinators.
Well, all right, hold on. Let's not do that yet. Considering it's one, he's been a head coach for 1 year, so let's not do that quite yet. Is that okay?
Yeah, but year two is, I mean, this is a big year for him.
Why do I keep thinking he's been a coach for 2 years?
If this year doesn't go right for Ben McAdoo, I don't think Ben McAdoo sees year three. Because there's high expectations.
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, this is going to be on him for sure. I agree with that. The Titans announced or claimed DeMarco Murray is still their workhorse running back. He's 29 years old. Obviously, Derrick Henry is there. That's going to scare people off, I think, Corey, right? Like the Derrick Henry being there with DeMarco Murray?
It's to get people off of who? Murray or
both
Henry?
Both of them, I think.
Yeah, I'm still going to be bullish on Derrick Henry. If I'm not mistaken, DeMarco's contract, I think they have an option after this season, so they're probably going to run him into the ground this year. I don't know if DeMarco Murray can sustain another 16-game season. He's starting to get a little bit older as a running back. Obviously, that exotic smash-mouth style of football is what they want to run. I like him. I like the team. I think there's some nice fantasy pieces on it. But I wouldn't be so fast to write Derrick Henry off, even with this news. I'm going to be aggressive on Henry. I'll be taking him higher than most will take him because I think somewhere towards the middle of the season, he gets a shot. And I think he's a guy that can help you down the stretch. If I draft him anywhere, I'm holding on to him. I'm not going to cut him. So I'm just I'm taking a pick, a upside pick on Derrick Henry, thinking that at some point he's going to wrestle some more carries away from DeMarco Murray, maybe wrestle with a job Murray, like you say, dealing with injuries. So I understand that's what they're saying, but yeah, more than likely they're going to get their money's worth out of DeMarco Murray.
I mean, I kind of agree with Corey. I mean, DeMarco Murray, you know, he was getting it done. But I think, you know, Henry's the back of the future. I think he's going to get integrated more and more into that offense. And I think Corey's correct. Like, that second half of 2017, he could be the lead back.
The Cowboys yesterday, speaking of Tony Romo, who Jerry Jones says we're not going to, training camps are deadline, which is absurd. And all, of course, a negotiating ploy. The Cowboys also extended Romo's boy, former roommate, Jason Witten, to a contract extension 4 years. No more guaranteed money in it. It's kind of just, we're going to push this, we'll give you, 2018 will be guaranteed now, and we'll worry about after that, so on and so forth. Jason Witten wants to retire a Cowboy, Corey.
Well, obviously, you know what I'm saying? Jason Witten wants to be in Dallas. He doesn't let nobody else get a shot to do well there. Tight ends that come into town, he eats them up and throws them away. Martellus Bennett, Gavin Escobar. It's like, yeah, this is my thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Definitely a guy who's going to be in, he's going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's a player that is going to be in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. But as far as for fantasy for 2017, inconsistent, hit or miss. You know what he is. He's a warrior. He'll be out there every game. That's the value that comes along with drafting him. You do have somebody that you can put out there every week. He's one of those guys that plays no matter what the situation is. But other than that, nothing really here to see. Nothing really to see here with Jason Witten. He's a better NFL player than he is a fantasy asset.
Yeah, to me, this is like more of a vanity contract. Like, it's, you know, you've been with the team forever. You want to retire with the team. We love you. You love us.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about it is, they're doing a vanity deal with Witten, and Romo sitting in the house like, really? This is how y'all rolling right now? See, that's like, if you're Tony Romo and you see Witten get this deal and you're saying, dude, just effing cut me so I can go get my job.
Yeah,
that's messed up. You feel what I mean?
I still don't get what they're holding out for, because they're not getting a number two.
You know what? I would not be surprised if he's a Cowboy.
And you know that $10 million. You know that's, you know, they could relieve themselves if they do it the right way of a big hit. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So
I mean, I understand right now together, Romo, the two quarterbacks are equal to one elite quarterback in the NFL. So yeah. I understand that. And look, hey, if you are a diehard Cowboy fan, you love to have
I love it. But yeah, financially, but
that's not going to work come the season. Tony Romo's going to want to play.
He's going to want to play football. So financially, it's probably not the best thing to do either. You know what I mean? And then Dak Prescott don't want to have another season with number nine. Number nine looking over his shoulder. So obviously, I think that is something that they have to get done. But yeah, like, why are we worried about Jason Witten right now when you need to be focused on what you're going to do with Tony Romo?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, there
I'm
you
with
go you. Right there.
In Baltimore, we know Kenneth Dixon is suspended for the first four games of the season. We know this team signed Danny Woodhead.
This is weird what you're about to say.
But John Harbaugh made it clear that Terrence West is the starter still in Baltimore.
I mean, I think Woodhead's in the perfect spot. Why, you know, Woodhead and Joe Flacco is like peanut butter and jelly.
It seems like it would be. Then we know Dixon has the 4-game suspension, and Woodhead is not going to play nothing but 7-8 games, something like that. Danny Woodhead is going to be hurt at some point during the season. I like Dixon a lot. See, at the combine, he was somehow Dixon is a great back, great skill set. He's a guy that they really like a lot. He more or less saying that he has a great future ahead of himself in the NFL. And then a month and a half later, he's like, oh, well, Terrence West is still my guy. This is the last thing you want to see is another nightmare situation with these running backs in Baltimore. Because one thing that Joe Flacco does is he throws the football to the running backs. If somebody would emerge, you can have a PPR guy that can be a late-round RB2, a mid-to-late-round RB2. I think Woodhead is an RB1 the weeks he's healthy, and Kenneth Dixon is not. But with Terrence West still in the mix, it drops the value of Kenneth Dixon to me. And I don't like it.
I agree with you.
Well, would you say that he's just saying that for now?
I hope so.
You know, because he knows.
But last year, West came out of nowhere. But, and Forsett was in the mix. And then Dixon was hurt, and he battled back. You know what I mean?
You are right in everything you're saying, but the fact that he's not going to be there for four games, that he's, you know, he's just going to talk him up a little right now.
Yeah,
and say,
that's
what I'm trying to, you know, and that's the logical thing to me.
I feel you on that. But maybe hopefully that is what he's doing.
Corey, as we found out, forgot that his boy Sammy Watkins had surgery after the season.
Yeah, I didn't know he had another foot surgery.
I just don't know why he wasn't done last season when they put him on the IR, eligible to return. I mean,
I would love to like sit down with his doctor, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, and what they're hearing.
And be like, listen, this guy is not going to. This guy has a problem with his foot, doesn't he? And it's never going to be fixed, right? And his doctor would be like, yeah, but that's between us. And I'd be like, okay. And then I would come get on the radio and tell everybody. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what really, I think his doctor, if the team doctors would reason with us, they would probably say, Sammy Watkins has a chronic injury to his foot. It's always going to be an issue. He's going to continue to need surgery. He's going to have to probably figure out some kind of way to get some new shoes for him to make his situation a little bit more comfortable. But I just can't. If you had, a year, this is a year and a half, and you had 3 foot surgeries, 3-4 procedures on your foot, I can't do it.
I think you said the correct word.
They're talking about drafting a wide receiver in this year's draft.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, to me, there's no other option. I know the defense needs and this and that, but to me, if they don't take a wide receiver.
Greg, can you pull up their roster? And read the names of the wide receivers on the Buffalo Bills roster. It would blow your effing mind.
I'm sure Modica knows it by heart.
These guys, fifth wide receiver types that they've been signing or practice squad players.
I believe it's like Sammy Watkins, number 1, Corey Brown, number 2, Andre Holmes, number 3, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's something god-awful like that.
I mean, this is...
You have to draft somebody. You have to draft somebody.
I understand that. Well, yeah, I understand that. But then I hope that.
Oh, he's back to Philly Brown on this team, by the way. According to the depth chart, he's back to Philly Brown again.
He went back to Philly Brown. These are the wide receivers: Philly Brown, Jeremy Butler, Andre Holmes, Desmond Lewis, Kobe Listenby, Walter Powell, Brandon Tate, Corey Washington, and Sammy Watkins.
Like I said,
what the hell is this? What is this?
I don't know.
Who presided over this, Matt?
this type of shit I see every year. It's like a bad rerun that keeps on happening. And like you just keep watching it. And like
Kobe Listenby.
Yeah, he's funny. Fast. He's a stud. He's a stud.
Brandon Tate's a tall heel though.
Yeah, you could go. Hey, go UNC, right?
There you go. This guy right here, Andre Holmes, his college, Hillsdale. Is that a high school? Yeah. What is Hillsdale?
I mean, Jeremy
Butler from Tennessee Martin.
I remember seeing that on Twitter.
They don't even have college. These guys shouldn't be playing professional football.
I remember seeing on Twitter, we're excited to announce the signing of Jeremy Butler, and I was just like, I my phone.
They got to figure it out.
Take a break. We're going to come back and play the Weakest Link. Joining us, it's the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, Matty Moe, Corey Parson, and of course, Michael Florio all participate in the Weakest Link. Coming up next. Matt Modica, Corey Parson with you. Greg Sussman, Roto Experts, good morning. We are now joined by the managing editor of RotoExperts.com, the co-host of The King and I in the Morning. It's Scott Angle. What's up, Scotty?
What's up? Good to be with you fellas.
Happy to have you here. We know you like this game. We wanted to bring you back for it. And this is the Weakest Link. Matt, it's your first time playing. It's exciting how it works. I have 12 questions per round. We go around the table, and it could be about anything. It's mostly baseball heavy. I'll give you that. It's mostly baseball heavy because it is baseball. I know you're not super into basketball, and you know, I thought that it was fair to stick to baseball here. So mostly baseball questions and a lot of potpourri of some other stuff. At the end of the round, I'll ask you a couple questions. You'll vote off the Weakest Link, and then we'll go on to another round. Sound cool?
Sounds good.
Mike Florio, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I got the music all ready for you. Ready to play some Weakest Link. Hopefully I make it past the first round this time.
Mike is in it again.
Mike's in it again, yeah.
Now, Corey, you're the defending champ of this game.
Corey, you are the defending champion.
This is true.
So who would you like to go first?
Who answers the questions first?
Yeah.
Let's start with the King.
So that means you'll be second, Corey.
He's our guest.
All right. You are the guest. You will go first. Sir, are you ready?
Yep.
Florio, are you ready with the music? Here. Away we go. It's going to be quick hitting. There we go. Scotty, question number 1. Last year, who led the league in batting average against righties?
Batting average against righties. Joey Votto.
Incorrect. DJ LeMahieu. Corey, who is the current WWE Universal Champion?
Roman Reigns.
Incorrect. Come Bill on. Goldberg. Florio, who led the league in home batting average last year?
I'll also go with DJ LeMahieu.
That is correct. Matt Modica, who was the number one pick of the 2007 NFL Draft?
Philip Rivers.
Incorrect. Philip Rivers was the number four overall pick. So that's
a good guess.
That wasn't in 2007. It was years later. Years later. The answer is Jamarcus Russell. Scotty, what does CNN stand for?
Oh, News Network. Corporate News Network.
Cable News Network. Cable. Corey, yes. Who led the league in away batting average last year?
The league leader in away batting average was Josh Donaldson.
Incorrect. It was Jose Altuve. Florio, who had the highest average on fly balls last year?
Daniel Murphy.
Incorrect. Joey Votto.
Ooh.
Modica, who is currently the host of NBC's Nightly News?
Lester Holt.
That is correct.
Good job.
Scotty, who had the highest average on ground balls last year?
Christian Yelich.
Incorrect. Trey Turner. Corey, who had the most hits with two outs last season?
The most hits with two outs last season was Jose Altuve.
Incorrect. Paul Goldschmidt. Florio, who was the second pick of the 2007 NFL Draft?
I feel your pain, Matt. I honestly don't know.
Calvin Johnson. Modica, who had the most home runs with two outs last year?
Home runs with two outs last year. Chris Bryant.
Incorrect. Edwin Encarnacion. That's the round, gentlemen. That's the round.
Jamarcus Russell over Calvin Johnson.
Jamarcus Russell over Calvin Johnson.
Very difficult. Very difficult questions, Greg.
Difficult questions.
That was a good guess, though, by you, Corey, before at the Altuve. He was Goldschmidt.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. All right,
Roman Reigns wasn't a bad guess either for a guy who doesn't watch wrestling.
Well, it seems like everyone's very positive.
Everybody lied.
Everyone loves each
everybody
other.
Everybody lied. Everybody laughed. Everybody laughed when I said Roman Reigns, though.
I would have said Stone Cold.
Give me a hell yeah.
I would have said Bruno Sammartino.
Well, you didn't get that question. Now, Modica, you're a guest.
Austin, my nephew, he has a Roman Reigns book bag.
That's cool.
So, but Roman Reigns, he retired or something, right?
He did not retire. He is very, very much active.
Sorry.
It's okay. Now, Modica, how did you enjoy your first week as league experience?
Well, it was good. I got one right.
You did get one right. Who do you believe was the weakest link that round, though?
Well, if Scott would have said the Clinton News Network, he would have stayed on, so he's the weakest link.
So you believe Scott Angle was the weakest link there. He had News Network right. He used to
We all know it was News Network.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, you know. Scott,
you just forgot Clinton.
It's cable. It's not Clinton. Like, please.
No,
let's go back to the 90s.
Fake news.
Scotty, you came back here, back on the show for the weakest link. Who do you believe was the weakest of that round?
I think neither Florio nor Corey got anything right. But
I got one right.
Did he?
He did.
I guess by deduction, you got to go Corey then because you didn't get anything right.
Corey Parson, the weakest link there. Yeah. Corey, you played this before, the defending champion here the last time we played. In round one, who do you think was the weakest link?
In round one, I believe the weakest link was the King, the corporate news network.
Yep.
CNN's been around for 30 years, you know what I'm saying,
sure.
On cable television. Breaking.
No, nobody watches it anymore.
Nobody watches it.
It's actually at its highest ratings of the first quarter in 30 years.
Fake news.
True story.
The liberal news network. come on, Scott. What does MTV stand for?
Music television, which they don't have any of.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have any music on television anymore.
See,
no
Scotty's the weakest link.
I'm going with Scott Angle. Right. The King is the weakest
Michael
link.
Florio comes to you. You are safe this round, sir. Scotty has two votes here. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, is one. Who do you believe was the weakest link that round?
How were tiebreakers decided?
I ask a question.
I'm going to go with Corey then because I'm a fan of drama.
Corey Parson, which means we have a tiebreaker.
If I'm voted off, I got to go downstairs and use the bathroom.
We have a tiebreaker.
Yes.
All right.
I had a plan.
Scotty.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your tiebreaker question?
Yes.
Who was the number three overall pick of the 2007 NFL Draft?
Achilles Smith.
Incorrect. Corey, who's the third overall pick?
the third overall pick of the 2007 NFL Draft. 2007. That would put that's pretty. It would be a 10-year veteran this year if that player stuck around in the league. Third pick was 2007. Roy Williams.
Incorrect. Joe Thomas.
Ooh.
All right.
Hall of Famer.
Next question, Scotty. Who was the first overall pick of the 2008 NFL Draft?
2008.
First NFL? Overall pick.
Matt Ryan.
Incorrect.
Oh, that was a good one.
Right he was number three in 2008. You had the right year. Who was number one that year?
Number one pick of 2008 NFL Draft. Matthew Stafford.
Incorrect.
Ah, damn it.
Jake Long. Jake Long.
Another very good player.
Yeah. Scotty, who was the second overall pick that year?
Jake Long. Phillip Rivers.
Again, way before, and he wasn't the number two overall pick.
He's a popular guest today.
Clearly. Corey, number two overall pick.
Number two overall pick of the 20.
Jake Long was one, Matt Ryan was three. Who was number two?
Let me see here.
Come on. Exercise and futility.
No, it was not Tony Romo. It was a linebacker. It was, I don't know, Greg.
Chris Long. Jake Long, Chris Long, back to back. Gentlemen. All right. Here
Your
we go.
Your facial expressions were quite
frustrating. Greg, these are very difficult questions.
These are not that difficult.
Yes, it is. The 2008 NFL draft is nine
People
damn
sit
years
around
ago.
And think about a draft from 9 years ago.
Scotty.
With Chris Long and Jake Long.
Your next question. Who's number one overall pick in 2009?
We're going to be here all day doing this.
I guess so. You guys, you know.
Drama.
Don't you have any other, like, you know, baseball questions?
No, I'm not asking baseball questions now. This is a tiebreaker question.
Number one pick in 2009, which means he would have been in the league for, let's see, 8 years.
Come on!
2009, I'll say Andrew Luck.
Incorrect.
You know Andrew Luck wasn't drafted in 2009.
He has no idea.
Matthew Stafford. There you go, right there. I knew Matthew Stafford was one that was going to be the answer.
Painfully
to that.
And proudly, Scott Engel, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You can stay up here, though, because old school's coming up soon.
Stay up here if you'd like. Yeah. Florio, are you ready? Here we go.
Yay, baby, I made it.
Round number. No, I'm going to Corey starts it, but I just want you to hit the music. Here we go.
Well, I got to start. I just came out of sudden death.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. Corey, who starred with Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic?
Oh, Jennifer Garner.
Incorrect. Kate Winslet.
No, that
Florio.
Was she's pretty.
Florio, who had the most solo home runs last year?
Freddie Freeman?
Incorrect. Brian Dozier. Modica, who had the most hits with nobody on base last year?
Nelson Cruz.
Gene Segura. Corey.
Good call.
Before last season, who was the last Patriots quarterback to start a game not named Brady, Castle, or Bledsoe? Before last season.
Kevin Grogan?
Incorrect. Scott Zolak.
Ah.
Florio.
I don't know who either of those guys are.
Florio, who had the most Grand Slams last year?
Chris Bryant.
Incorrect. There's two answers, Manny Machado or George Springer.
Bryant's popular.
Modica, who was the last Colts quarterback to start a game before Peyton Manning?
Oh, I think I know this one.
I think I know it too.
Well, you're out. And so, in Florio, is that your question?
Jim Harbaugh.
That is correct.
Nice job.
Corey, who had the most full count hits last season?
Wonderful. The most full count hits last season. I didn't look at this before I came in this morning. The most full count hits last season would go to Mike Trout.
Incorrect. Brandon Drury.
Wow.
Florio. Who is the quarterback in any given Sunday that wasn't named Jamie Foxx?
Don't know.
Dennis Quaid.
Oh, you both not get an answer to that one. I could have. Oh, well, yeah.
Modica. Who had the most full count home runs last season?
The most full count home runs last season. Chris Bryant.
That is incorrect. Chris Carter.
Third time Chris Bryant was thrown.
Chris Carter.
The mic's not on, Scott.
Yes, Corey, who had the most leadoff home runs last season?
The most leadoff home runs last year. The leadoff home run champion last year would have to be a leadoff hitter. he got hit on runs to lead off the game. Ricky Henderson, I don't know.
Ricky Henderson.
The answer is Charlie Blackmon.
Oh, I should have guessed that.
Florio, who were the most hits in extra innings last year?
Daniel Murphy.
Incorrect. It was Carlos Correa, Brandon Crawford, right, Jason Daniel Hayward, George Springer. All the same. Final question of the round, which is a brutal round for all of you. Modica, who played the quarterback in Varsity Blues?
The guy from Dawson Creek. What the hell?
Dawson is not the answer I'm looking for.
Give me a second.
Greg, we sang Dawson's Creek song.
We did.
I know his name. God, I can't think of his name.
The answer is James Vanderbeek. And that's going to do it for the round.
I did get one right, though.
That was a terrible
round. Corey, that was a brutal round of Weakest Link.
The questions were too difficult.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't know what to tell you. You're experts. You didn't know the leadoff hitter. You know, that was an interesting one. Leadoff hitter with the most home runs. You guessed Ricky Henderson.
All time.
That was not the question.
Oh, it wasn't all time.
Now, Corey, what is what do you believe the weakest link was that round?
I'm going to have to go with Florio. I think Florio was the weakest link. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't get one question right.
I think he guessed Daniel Murphy to every question.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was. I'm very disappointed.
That's probably a better guess than Ricky Henderson.
Florio, who do you believe the weakest link was?
Well, I mean, I naturally had to pick Corey because Matt's not going to vote himself out.
That's true.
I will say Corey, and then our fates are in
Corey Parson.
Hands.
Now, we go to you, Matt Modica. Now, this is an interesting spot you're in. Because you could choose the weakest link, but by doing so, you're also choosing the opponent you face in the finals of this game. So, my question to you is, who is the weakest link?
So if I pick Corey, he's out, and it's me versus Florio?
That's correct.
Let's duel. Corey, you're out.
Yeah!
Corey Parson!
No problem, too.
Corey Parson!
He didn't think about it.
Perhaps the most deserved one ever. Did you are the weakest link.
Yeah,
get the hell out of this studio.
I'm going to use the boys' room.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We'll find out who the strongest link is next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is it, gentlemen. This is the final of the weakest link. Who will be the strongest link today? Matt Modica's debut. Mike Florio trying to claim a championship. Mike Florio, you will lead us off. Sir, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
How do you feel? Do you feel good?
I've made it to the championship once. I think I lost. So, I mean, maybe that gives me a little bit of experience over Matt, but, you know, I'm ready.
Let's do it. Away we go. This is the weakest link. Mike Florio, who were the most extra inning home runs last season?
George Springer.
Incorrect. Robinson Cano. Modica, who was the last Giant to start a game before Eli Manning?
Kurt Warner.
That is correct. Florio, who was the last Charger to start a game not named Philip Rivers or Drew Brees?
I knew Kurt Warner. I don't know this one.
Doug Flutie. Modica, who had the most ninth inning home runs last year?
Daniel Murphy.
Incorrect. Jake
Lamb.
Yeah,
get on the Daniel Murphy train.
Florio, who had the most hits in the ninth inning last year?
Daniel Murphy.
Incorrect. Albert Pujols. Modica, what is Triple H's real name?
Wow. You asked me a wrestling question. Steve Goldberg.
Paul Levesque. Florio, what is Dr. Dre's real name?
It's Andre something.
We need a full answer, please. Full name.
I'm not sure the last name.
Andre Young. Modica, what is the Fantasy Sports Network slogan?
Fantasy Sports Network slogan? I know Scott's the king, so hold on a second. Roto Experts?
Bring your A-game. Florio, who had the most hits against the shift last year?
Against the shift? Joey Votto.
Incorrect. David Ortiz. I also would have accepted Carlos Gonzalez because David Ortiz is not active. Modica, who had the most hits against no shift last year? Straight away.
Most hits against no shifts last year. Jose Altuve?
Dustin Pedroia. Florio, what pitcher struck out the most left-handed hitters last year?
Madison Bumgarner?
Incorrect. Justin Verlander. What pitcher, Florio, struck out the most right-handed hitters?
No, that's Matt.
Modica, what pitcher struck out the most right-handed hitters?
Max Scherzer?
Incorrect. Madison Bumgarner.
Wow.
That was a good question.
And that is the weakest link, where only one question was correct in the finals. But it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. We're at the mercy of everyone else.
You're at the mercy of everybody else. The people that you voted off. The people that you decided should not be in this game anymore. So, Scotty, do you have any questions for the participants left?
Yes, Mike.
Daniel Murphy.
When are you buying your Daniel Murphy jersey?
Oh, I would gladly wear a Daniel Murphy jersey.
Mike, do you feel like you made it to the finals on default because me and Corey was so bad that you just kind of like lucked into it and backed into it?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, there was a round where me and Matt were the only ones who got questions right.
Yeah, you got one right. So again, did you feel like you backed into it?
That's one more than you guys got.
I know. We already admitted we were terrible.
I believe I got three right there. Right?
Yeah. I think Matt was the only quality person on the entire panel today.
So you're strongly
Scott, he voted you out. I didn't remember that.
That has nothing to do with it.
So you're strongly feeling that Matt Modica was the strongest link here.
Oh, Florio has been horrible all day.
Okay, so your vote is for Matt. Now, Corey, do you have any questions for our panelists?
No, I feel good about everything. I'm getting ready for old school fantasy. Scott, I think that's Bernard King sitting out there.
That's unrelated to my game. Trying to pick a winner here.
New York Legends.
Who do you believe is the strong? You say you don't have any questions. You're trying to get ready for old school. It sounds like you're just trying to get through this.
I lost.
Can we wrap this up?
It's your job to pick the champion.
No, I'm going to pick the champion.
Who do you believe is the strongest link?
I think the strongest link is Matt Modica.
Okay, how come?
Because he did get a couple questions right.
So with that being said, in your debut, Matt Modica, your first ever weakest link challenge, sir, you are the strongest link.
Yay!
Which means that the weakest link is Mike Florio. So, Mike Florio, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. The winner of the weakest link, that would be Matt Modica. And it is Bernard King, because Scott Angle
is Bernard King.
He just ran up to him and gave him a huge hug.
Yeah, look, that is Bernard King. I thought that was Bernard King, and I said that Scott got up.
not only did he get up,
the strongest link.
He ran over to him, yeah. Shook his hand, and gave him a huge hug.
Yeah, he gave him a huge hug. So Bernard King is in the building eating his meal, and the King of Scott Angle is like, knee pads in the bag.
Hold on. To be fair to Scott, that's like his idol is Bernard King.
Scott loves Bernard.
That's
King.
His idol.
He is a New York legend.
And he's always loved him and whatnot. And he went, he without hesitation ran up to him.
He went right up to him, yeah. So I am the strongest link. I was able to come up the stairs, see something out the corner of my eyes, and be like, I think that's Bernard King. And sure enough, right now, Scott and Bernard King are in Rock and Raleigh's making love.
They're hanging out. Bernard dressed much nicer than the King is currently.
I do like these game shows. Championships for me.
Is Scott going to bring Bernard King in the studio?
He's going to try.
Yeah,
he's looking at it. He's pointing at us currently.
Yeah, I know. So if Bernard King come in the studio, the first thing I'm going to ask Bernard King is, what the hell is wrong with Phil Jackson?
Will you ask him?
I will definitely ask him that.
We're going to have to record that. We'll throw that on Audio Boom. We'll push that out for you. I mean, it'd be probably the best episode of old school ever.
If Bernard King was to come in this studio, we would have a expose on the New York Knicks. Straight up.
Do you think that Bernard King would tell you anything?
I don't know. Does he work for MSG? Is he a company guy?
I don't know.
See what I'm saying? I got a lot of things I would like to talk to Bernard King about.
Yeah, maybe he's got some nice seats.
I want to know how you felt about the situation with Charles Oakley. You feel what I mean?
You have a lot of questions for Bernard King.
I have a lot of questions for Bernard King. But if not, we're going to talk second-year players.
Free Oakley.
There you go right there. Free Oakley, second-year players. Maybe a little in news and notes. We'll talk about Sammy Watkins. We'll get some more discussions going on. But it's either going to be chock full of fantasy greatness, or me and Bernard King going to sit down here and expose the New York Knickerbockers.
How is George Kurtz's head cold? Is he getting better?
George Kurtz is doing a tremendous job just fighting through some kind of Ebola. He sounds horrific on the radio. You know what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong. He's giving out the great advice and stuff like that.
He's very good.
And you love that workman, Iron Man mentality
he's
that he
Cal
has.
Ripken.
Yes, but no, he does. I think George has Ebola.
That doesn't sound like a funny thing to joke about, honestly.
I'm sorry.
It's like a deadly disease.
But Joe, if you listen to him, you'll be like,
I listen to Old School every day.
You listen to On Target every day? Because you know Jake Seeley is the,
why wouldn't I? I sit and work. I sit and work right during On Target. I would never miss an episode. On Target Fantasy, of course, 11 to 1.
The award-winning.
On Target Fantasy.
Coming up next, Old School, Corey, George, Scott, maybe Bernard King. I don't know. we'll see if Scott can drag him. Like,
the best
just drag
thing,
him on his hands and knees.
The best thing if Scott sat down and started eating with him.
Here, I got you McDonald's. From Matt Bodega. Carson, I'm Greg Suss. We'll be back tomorrow, our Vegas edition. For the Roto Experts in the morning. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.